This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. Coaches versus Cancer gets going tonight with the reception, then the golf tournament is tomorrow. And it is the largest fundraiser that Coaches versus Cancer has every year. We'll get more into that tomorrow. And it is also the day that we find out more about TV times. We'll start out with this. We do know that West Virginia, this is not going to be a surprise, but maybe some people would be. It's going to be at noon in Morgantown. So there you go.
I'd really thought they'd let them lather themselves up for an 8 o'clock start, to be honest.
I did not want that.
I'm sure you didn't. I'll be watching on TV.
Jack and I have talked about this. And we're like, I don't know. I don't think that should be a night game. Right, only just because of course you're going to get the usual. And Penn State and down the road and playing at noon. It's like, oh, geez. Okay. All right. Yeah, I got it. Right. It's all part of the mythology of it. But, yeah. I did not want that game at noon.
That stadium would be wild if it was at 8 o'clock.
Oh, it would be a finely tuned crowd.
Yes.
Yes, finely tuned. Yes. I mean, nothing like it.
No couch would have been safe.
Oh, just so awful, so low.
So right.
Yeah, I didn't say you're wrong. I didn't say you're wrong. I just said that it's so low. But yeah. But we'll find out more. I think we'll find out actually more during the show today. Because I think 1:30 is the time they're supposed to start releasing some of this stuff. And that's... they did release today the Sunshine Slam will take place in Daytona Beach, and Penn State's a part of it with San Francisco, Clemson, and Fordham. And that, of course, is Keith Urgo's team. I will freely admit that when I went down to speak in Jacksonville and Daytona, I did a Friday night in Jacksonville and a Saturday luncheon in Daytona, I did tell them down there. He said, hey, start, since second the tickets are available, start getting tickets. So I told them, what was it, 2 months ago about it. So, yeah. I thought it was a good opportunity to do it, Todd.
Hey, you got to get those tickets pushed. Got to get crowds in there. I mean, you got to give them a reason to bring you back if you give them breaking news, too, right?
So I figured I'd let the cat out of the bag. I said, I'm back down here Thanksgiving week. I've got a game at Minnesota on the 23rd. Then I'll fly down to Daytona on the 24th, do the game on the 25th, the 26th. Then I'm back, and hey, guess what? You know what that means? I got to spend Thanksgiving here. How about that?
Just better than lovely Detroit like last year, right?
Yeah, that was... You know what, though? It's interesting. I saw something about... Oh, I don't know. what the circumstances were. It was one of those, like, bad lists to be on. And I think New York was, like, fifth or something, like New York City. Because I think everything always, every story revolves like that around New York. Hey, they're not the worst. Okay. And Detroit was in there on the list. Now, I know I stayed at Renaissance Center. I know that. But I walked back from Ford Field. Okay? The team left because I had to go back to Orlando, so I had to stay the extra night. And I thought about getting an Uber or whatever, but I walked back. Todd, I had no problems or qualms whatsoever, to be honest with you. Detroit was exponentially nicer than I thought it was going to be. I'd never been to downtown Detroit before. Because, I mean, I've been to Michigan a lot. You fly into Detroit Airport, the whole deal. But I never actually went to downtown Detroit before. I'm telling you, downtown Detroit was fine.
I think it's reputation, you know? I mean, it was probably true in the 80s, and it's hard to break. Sometimes it's hard to break that stigma, and, you know, if you think about Detroit in the 90s, one of the things you think about is all the burned-out buildings and all that kind of stuff. And
right, sure. No, I understand that. You are absolutely right. I agree with you.
And I think, you know, I've read a couple stories where they've done it, you know, over the last 20 years that they've made a concerted effort to clean things up and get things better. And I think, you know, your firsthand experience is kind of evidence of that.
Yeah. I mean, the area down by the stadium, the ballpark is right next to it, the Tigers. And just a little bit further from that is Little Caesars. And for those of you who've gone to the NCAA wrestling championships a couple of years ago, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
It's like every city. You know, there's places you can walk around at night, and there's some places you can't walk around at night.
New York, I'll tell you about New York. In New York, when I first went there to do the NIT, and this would have been 1990. Now I'd been there as when I was a kid, we did a field trip to the United Nations. You know, it killed a day. Like, what do the people do here? Not much. Okay. Good for them. But when I went back in 1990 to do the NIT Final Four, like, you really didn't feel like leaving the Marriott Marquis. I mean, I went out, like, you know, when they were, you know, like, during normal, like, before, how about before 9 o'clock? You know, and Times Square is filled and the whole deal. I went out, like, but after 9 o'clock, I didn't really want to go out, right? But then when I went back in 95, 98, you know, 2000, they did the ECAC Holiday Festival 2001. Now, this is when Giuliani and Bloomberg were the mayors. Same thing in 2009. I was like, hey, I thought it was great. Felt like I could go out anytime, anywhere. Didn't think twice about it. But now, I've gone back there since. And you're like, I don't know. I mean, going there in 16, 18, you know, you're like, I think I'll stay in the hotel.
The wife and I stayed at Jimmy Buffett's hotel in near Times Square maybe 2 years ago. It wasn't too bad. Now, did we go out at midnight? No. But, I mean, we were out and about for most of the day. It was, honestly, it's the first time I ever did New York City like that. I've driven into Yankee Stadium a bunch of times, but it's actually the first time I ever stayed in Manhattan.
Right. Well, I've stayed in Manhattan a lot. And like I said, it really depends on who's in charge. When de Blasio was the mayor, you're like, oh, you really didn't feel like going out. You know, it just didn't feel as safe, more garbage. I mean, now with Mayor Adams, it seems like Mayor Adams is, you know, but they have the problem there. We're getting a far field of sports here. But the problem they have is, let's face it, the immigrant problem. You know, the Roosevelt Hotel and that area. Okay. So, but that's, you know. Yeah, but Detroit, Detroit, I actually felt pretty good about going around there. I didn't really think twice about it.
Philly gets a bad rap, too. My brother lives right in Center City, and my mother-in-law sometimes gets a little nervous about my daughter walking the dogs late at night with him and stuff, but it's a real nice place. I mean, I will admit that my brother has a little bit of money, so it is a little nicer part of the city as well,
sure.
And that helps.
Right. Depends on where you want to go. I mean, yeah. For example, you know, Dick and I will go over to Fishtown, where Joe's Steaks is. It's fine. I like it over there. It's nice. It just all depends.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you know where the new Yards Brewery is in the city, it's about, my brother,
yeah,
about 3 blocks from
there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, and like I said, no problem. You know, and down where we stayed at Center City, right near the Penn campus, that was fine. That was fine. All right. The complaint that you're going to get today will be the number of noon games that Penn State will get, and enough of them happen to be on, you know, happen to be significant games at noon at home. That's going to be one of the complaints people will get about this. But you have to remember, why does Fox do that? It's not as if over the years Fox didn't try to compete head to head with ESPN at 3:30, didn't try to compete with ESPN head to head at 7:30. They have. They've tried. Same thing with the 10:30 time slot. But early on in this process, they took a couple of significant games and they moved them into the noon time slot, and they won big. And for them, that's the bottom line. The bottom line to them is they want to go to advertisers and say, look, you want to be with us for the noon kickoff because we win that time slot. ESPN wins 3:30, wins 7:30, and then they'll win 10:30 at night as well. Now, I don't know what 10:30 at night is going to mean now without the Pac-12 in existence any longer. But they win 3:30 and 7:30. So if you're Fox and you've had the success at noon and that is the time slot you consistently win, well, where are you going to put your big games?
Well, I mean, you know this, but think about that ESPN schedule at noon, usually what that noon game usually is. You know, it's your, for lack of a better term, mid-level Big Ten teams usually, and if you're getting Ohio State, Michigan at noon, that's going to kill everything.
Sure. Although it's interesting, you see the opening weekend, I believe the opening weekend, Clemson is playing Georgia, and that game's at noon.
There's two places I'd want to play at in August at noon. Ugh.
That's going to be hot.
It's going to be
humid. Yep, really humid.
Those jerseys are going to be dark orange and dark red pretty quick.
Yeah, I would think so.
Isn't that in a dome though?
I don't.
Or are they playing that at a home site? I thought that was in the.
That might be at Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, because the Peach Bowl does a great job of lining that stuff up. You know, and we've had Gary Stokin on the show. Gary is just one of the great guys out there. I mean, he's just a great guy. And that's what I think is, because they're going to get, if they put, that game's got to be a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, it's the Chick-fil-A kickoff game.
Yeah. So you're indoors, it's comfortable, the whole deal. And not only that, but the Peach Bowl this year gets a quarterfinal game and they get the championship game. Right, not bad.
That's one thing that I think is going to be really cool. I think I'm looking forward to the college football playoff as much as I'm looking forward to anything this year. All those games over 3 weeks.
No, there's going to be from December 20th through to the Super Bowl. It is going to be an absolute football bonanza. Because you'll have a Friday night college football playoff game, then Saturday three college football playoff games, opposite two NFL games. Sunday will be the NFL. Monday night football will take place. Christmas Day will have two games on Netflix. All right. Then you'll come right back with more NFL on the weekend plus other bowl games, right? And then you'll come out of that, and on New Year's Eve you'll have a college football quarterfinal game. On New Year's Day you'll have three college football quarterfinal games, which will then lead into Thursday night football, right? Which will then lead into the final weekend of the NFL regular season. And then you're going to follow that up with a Thursday semifinal game on the 8th, a Thursday semifinal game on the 9th, leading into NFL playoffs on the 10th and the 11th and the 12th, because they're going to do a Monday night playoff game.
I think if my wife's listening, she's currently calling a lawyer.
Yeah.
Or looking for a boyfriend for about 2.5 months.
But think about that. I mean, think about that run of games. Right? Oh, I mean, every day... Not just games, but significant games. Significant games. And that's going to be quite the football bonanza all the way through to the Super Bowl, which will be the second Sunday of February. Yeah.
Christmas and my daughter's birthday is in that stretch. That is, I'm going to be one busy dude.
I'm still not on board with Netflix yet.
Eh.
I'm sure by the time I get there, and a part of it's going to depend on what my schedule at that time looks like. I mean, Penn State's not playing on Christmas Day. I already know that. But... This will depend on. I'm still not on board yet with it. Now something tells me I'll come around to it. Because the Steelers are playing the Chiefs, which I think is the other game. The Texans and game with the Ravens, like whatever. Now Bob from Hanover is a huge Ravens fan. He'll be on board. Okay. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have multiple insurance needs. You need to have a group that can handle them all and do everything they can to save you money. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament will be Wednesday, August 7th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, to benefit the Susquehanna Valley United Way. Looking forward to that very much. Todd will be out there tearing the course apart.
Wear a helmet.
We don't know if the suit is going to be there, do we?
I do not know. I can't imagine that. That smells like a free afternoon.
Exactly. Especially the fact that they are serving food at it. All right. So, yeah. There you go. So still waiting on what some of the TV releases would happen to be. It's already been leaked out there that Penn State, West Virginia, and Morgantown will be at noon. Fine by me. But as I said before, when I was talking about in the previous half hour, you know, people complain about Fox going at noon. I understand that, especially if you're not staying here Friday night. And is it a tougher trip in a condensed time frame with the funnel happening going toward Beaver Stadium? Sure it is. I completely get that part. This is not like the old days where you play at 1:30 in the afternoon. Perfect time, because 1:30 really is the perfect time to play. It really is. I mean, Joe was always right about that. And right about a lot of things. But when you sit there and this is the TV world, if they're going to be investing all of this money, like Fox does, NBC, CBS does, I understand what they're doing. The only part I've ever complained about when it comes to television selection would be the six-day windows. And I believe last season there was only, on the Big Ten side, only 1 6-day window. Remember, that was when Penn State played Rutgers. But that was it. To me, the six-day window thing is just absurd. And it's absurd because you can't tell me as a TV entity you're not smart enough to figure out what the good games are 12 days ahead. Really? Really? You're not that good at your job if you can't figure out 12 days ahead of time. Right, but I could take a group of people, sit down now, and like, you know, we could sit there and 12 days out go, yeah, that looks like the best game, let's pick that one.
I think you could do it now and be right 80% of the time.
Well, that's why I think they should do the entire schedule now and allow two flex weekends in there. Like the NFL. What does the NFL allow? How many flexes do they allow? 3, 4?
You know, with the way the NFL does a schedule release, I can't believe college doesn't do it a little more.
Right, exactly. You are so right. I'm with you.
Just pell-mell coming out at various times today.
Yeah, let's see. NFL number of flex games allowed. Let's see. NFL number of flex games allowed. The league can flex games in and out of Monday Night Football anytime between weeks 12 and 17. Thursday night rules are slightly more strict. The NFL can only flex games in or out of that spot a maximum of 2 times per season, and it must be between weeks 13 and 17. So here's the flexible scheduling And this is from NFL.com. And this is actually for Week 18. Let's see here. Flex scheduling is in effect during the following windows. Sunday afternoon may be moved from 1 and 4.05 or 4.25. Sunday night football may be used twice between weeks 5 and 10. And at the NFL's discretion, 11 to 17, so it's their discretion. They don't do it that often, though. Final seasons, the final week of the season is more wide open. So for Sunday Night Football weeks 5 to 13 and Monday Night Football weeks 12 to 17, the NFL will decide after consultation with CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, no later than 12 days in advance of the game will it be played on Sunday night or Monday night. Weeks 14 to 17 for Sunday Night Football, the flex schedule decision will be generally made no more than 6 days prior to the game. I've never seen the NFL do that, though. Have you?
No.
No. Thursday Night Football, it has to be made 28 days before the game. So that's what they... But they don't flex many games. Every once in a while, they'll flip one from 1 to 4:30 or whatever. But... And Monday Night Football, they only started being allowed to flex Monday night games last year for the first time. So... They don't flex many games. So that's what I would do in college football. I put out the whole schedule now. Put it all the way out now and say, look, there are going to be 2 weeks allowed where we're allowed to flex games. And we'll be allowed to flex the games 12 days out. How about that?
Seems like a reason take, which means they won't do it.
It has common sense to it. We're not going to do it. Yeah. I don't know. And by the way, the U.S. Open Women's Championship started today at Lancaster Country Club. When it was there in 2015, we did the show down there, and the players were great to deal with. We had on the show. MK Park, we had on Lexi Thompson. We had three or four others on. They were great. Great to deal with. Great to deal with. So,
Kevin told me you guys went to Pocono. You guys went to Lancaster. Where's my road trip?
Well, I went to Lancaster alone.
Ah.
Okay. And what happened was Pete Kowalski was in charge of media at the time, and Pete and I go back to the 80s working together here at Penn State. And Pete called me up, and he said, hey, we could use a little help with this. I said, yeah, I'll go down and do the show. Sure. Right? And it couldn't have been a better experience. Really, really enjoyed it. And then... Pocono? Yeah, we did Pocono. And Kevin set that entire deal up. I remember having Scott Goodyear on the show. He was great. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know where your road trip is. Yeah, how about the Susquehanna Valley Country Club?
That sounds well, you know, the funny part about that is I live close enough I could probably walk to that.
To the country club?
Uh-huh.
Really?
I live in the development right down the hill there.
Oh, yeah, you're the one that complained about Kevin's ball going in there.
No, not that neighborhood. You get into my neighborhood. I was going to say you really yanked it. Way left.
So Kevin actually did put a ball into your yard. You know what's funny about him playing? Is that the ball goes all over the place. And usually the last 5 or 6 holes, he starts hitting the ball straight. He just doesn't play enough. And I've told him that a lot. I said, you need to play more. I think you'd be pretty good. But his name did come up last week in Columbus. Because guess what?
The trotter was out.
Paul Keels. We got to a point. He says, He says, hey, Steve. And Paul has that deep voice. Steve says, what does that buddy call this thing? I said, chutter. I said, part chipper, part putter. Chutter. He goes, huh. I'm going to try it here. And he was actually further away from the green. He got it up on the green, rolled near the hole. I said, see, I said, yours is a multi-use club. I said, he only uses it in certain situations. The difference is that what's aggravating is he keeps statistics on it, and he has to tell you what the stats are every hole. I'm 4 for 7. Right. I didn't have the heart to tell him 4 for 7 when you're that close to the green is not good. That's not good at all. Ah. Oh, well. interesting times. We always have, look, we don't always have fun, but most of the time we have fun. Hey, there are days it's not going to be fun. But so yeah, they're at Lancaster. So yeah, oh, I've done the show at Marion. I've done the show at Lancaster. I've done the show at Oakmont. Done the show at Pocono. Yeah, I've obviously done the show in Pittsburgh and in Philly. And of course, you name all the other places Penn State's been on the road, especially for basketball. I've done the show. The show's been on all over the place, including Cancun, Mexico. Yeah. How about that one?
Hey, I was here for when we were a Minneapolis-based show for a week.
Yes, I know. Couldn't get out of there. Right? Couldn't get... You know, but you know what? In talking to the other guys, you know, you get a better perspective. We're all sitting together in a group, and there were 12 of us that were there. Everybody had travel problems this year. Everybody. I mean, Don Fisher was talking about all the problems Indiana had. It was matching up with what everybody else did. There are not, you can't get regional jets any longer for charters because they're all in use. So you have to go with the bigger jets, which is fine. I think they're more comfortable anyway. But there's not a big pool of them. And contrary to popular belief in the chartering world, there aren't planes circling the State College Airport. All right, we're ready. Bring one down. Nope. Okay, Indiana-UCLA on September 14th at the Rose Bowl will be a night game at 7:30. Now, which will be 4:30 there. I talked to Don about this, Don Fisher. So Don Fisher is going into his 52nd year doing Indiana football and basketball. A year and a half ago, he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, which he richly deserves. He won the Chris Schenkel Award. He's won the Woody Durham Award, the whole thing. Don's tremendous. And I told him, I said, when I saw the Big Ten schedule come out, I said the first thing I looked at, obviously, were the Penn State games. I said the second thing I looked at was to see if Indiana was playing at UCLA. He goes, why? I said, because Don, you've never done a game in the Rose Bowl. He goes, well, this will be the only way I'll get to do a game in the Rose Bowl. I said, well, regardless, I said, you've never done a game at the Rose Bowl. You've never been in that setting. You've never seen the San Gabriels. You've never seen the sunset. You know, and what it looks like. I said, he says, yeah, he says, to be honest with you, he says, that's going to be pretty special. Well, they're going to play at 4:30 in the afternoon on the 14th. He's going to get that whole experience there without a capacity crowd. They're not going to sell that game out. I mean, the games that UCLA will sell out will be the usual USC, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. Those will be the sellout games. Right? Indiana will not be. My guess is they'll get 40 to 50,000 for that. But at least you'll get a chance to do a game there. And that's one of the first things I thought of. You know, as soon as I looked at the Penn State schedule, right, the second thing I looked at, I wanted to see if Indiana was playing at UCLA because Don had never done a game in the Rose Bowl.
You better hope Coach Cignetti didn't hear him say that.
What? That he'd never go there?
No, that'd be the only way he gets to go there.
Well,
he's not, probably not wrong.
Tell me he's wrong.
No, I'm not.
He's not wrong. All right.
I'll be quite honest. If somebody's going to do it, it's probably going to be him.
At Indiana?
Yeah. I mean, James Madison, he was successful at IUP. I feel like that's the kind of person you need at a place like Indiana that doesn't have a big, deep football history.
Well, what's interesting about him is I don't think people realize how old he is. I mean, I think people think he's like a guy in his 30s, right?
No.
He's not even close. I mean, Kurt Cignetti is, 62 years old.
I was going to say, he did 10 or 12 years at IUP 15 years ago.
Sure he did. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, well, he didn't become a head coach till later in life, too. Well, he did not become a head coach until 2011.
Because his dad coached at IUP forever.
Right, exactly. Right? And he did a great job at there, Elon, right? Then you mentioned James Madison, now Indiana. But again, he has a limited, in my opinion, a limited window here. You know, he's 62 years old.
It's the new 50, Steve.
Well, I'm hoping so because I'm not 62 myself. I'm a little bit older than 62, slightly, but a little bit older than 62. All right. So I'd like to point out that I hope you're right. It's the new 50. Because I feel great. So it's not, you know, I don't want to depress the audience. I feel great. But so we'll see if we get any other TV news during the course of the show today, which will be. I mean, that's, because people are wondering, like, what may be the one that could be the whiteout game, things like that. And I don't know if you're going to get any hints out of today or not. But, yeah. We'll take a break. It's half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. A little slower right now because the Celtics ended up sweeping Indiana, so that's off the board. So I have to think about that. Anymore. There's baseball today. The Brewers lead the Cubs 3-1, bottom of the third. Royals lead the Twins at Target 3-0, top of the fourth. 4-3 A's over the Rays, bottom of the third. Tonight, Mavericks and T-Wolves at 8:30. Rangers and Panthers at 8. Last night, Edmonton did win. They beat Dallas 5-2, and that series tied at 2 apiece.
I got one, too. Selinsgrove leads Pittston 4-0 going to the bottom of the sixth in the District 2 4-5A baseball final up at PNC Field in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre.
Are those seven-inning games?
They are seven-inning games.
Okay, all right. Right.
Selinsgrove's going for their third straight district title.
How about that? Huh? And they're playing at the minor league home of the Yankees, huh?
Correct. District 2 plays all their baseball finals up there.
Oh, that's great.
Have for a long time, actually.
No, I think that's great. You know, it's one of the reasons why they keep holding the PIAAs here at Penn State. You want to know why? You know, they do a great job hosting it. But the ballpark is 5,600. And they say that when you're in a bigger park, you know, and bigger park could be 9,000, 10,000, right? 9,000, 10,000. They say because of the changing crowds, it doesn't look filled. But when you're in a ballpark that's 5,500, 5,600, it looks like a big crowd. They say the perception is something they enjoy.
That's I love going there. Selins Grove won a state title and lost a state title out there in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful facility.
Well, wait till you see it now. They put some money and some work into it. Yeah. Wait till you see it now.
Looks like we're going to have 3 teams in the state playoffs, hoping one gets out there.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great, and you would enjoy it. My first game in the ballpark is a week from today. I've got a game. No, I'm sorry. It's a week from tomorrow. Week from today, I'm emceeing the Special Olympics opening ceremonies in the ballpark. But a week from tomorrow's the first game of the spike season that I do. And I know we're going to have Gabe Sinacropi on tomorrow, right?
Correct.
Yeah. It'll be great to talk to Gabe. Williamsport does a great job up there with that team. And they do a great job with it. And well organized. And that group works very, very hard. Very hard.
I was going to say, as long as I've been doing Crosscutters games, I think Gabe's been there since they came back.
Oh, yeah. No, Gabe has been there. Oh, no. Yeah, Gabe was, I think they were, where were they before? Were they were? Gabe was up in Geneva, maybe? And they brought them back? Because Gabe was doing local radio up in Geneva, I think, Geneva, New York. He was telling me, when I went in for the Penn State night last year to do that for them, Gabe was telling me all sorts of great stories. Great stories.
That might be the first time we were ever introduced.
Oh, yeah? Yeah?
One of the times you came in for the Spikes games.
Yeah. Good.
Because I think that would be before you came, you did the show here, and you used to come down here in the for the thing at the country club. Maybe it was the Purdy thing.
Yeah, I've done the Purdy thing, but I did an annual Q&A with people.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
Because we did one in... Oh, mercy me. Where the train kept going back and forth during the talk, and I'd have to keep waiting for the train to go by.
That had to be the Front Street Station.
Front Street Station.
Right in Norrie. I remember that one there.
Right
I was there for that
Norrie.
One, too.
Oh. And so, yeah, I think I ended up making a joke out of it. And, yeah.